بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. باب تحريم سفر المرأة وحدها. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة إلا مع ذي محرم عليها. متفق عليه. This brings us to the closing chapter of the discussion on the various sunnah, adab, etiquettes, practices, teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to safar, pertaining to journey. The du'as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read when he started his journey, what he did on the journey, the return, the manner in which he returned, what du'as Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam read when he returned from a journey, etc., etc. Interestingly, the final chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is brought in this chapter, deals with a very, very important prohibition, which unfortunately there is generally a sense of apathy and generally a sense of lack of regard and caution with regards to this prohibition, particularly in this age of fitna in which we find ourselves. The heading which he brings, tahrim, the hurmat, the prohibition, the fact that it is haram that a woman should travel alone, in other words, without a companion. When we talk of companion in Shariat, as we'll see in the riwayat that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought, in fact I'm going to read the two ahadith that he has mentioned in this chapter with the brief translation, and thereafter we will delve into the breakdown of the explanation, etc. The first hadith, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا يحل لإمراء. It is not permissible, it is not halal, in other words it is impermissible for a woman who believes in Allah and in the last day to undertake a journey, masira, a distance of one day and one night, a distance of one day and one night, إلا مع ذي محرم عليها, except that she has a mahram with her. For her to undertake such a journey without a mahram, according to this hadith, will not be permissible. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرم ولا تسافر المرأة إلا مع ذي محرم. فقال له رجل يا رسول الله إن امرأتي خرجت حاجة وإني اكتبت في غزوة كذا وكذا. قال انطلق فحج مع امرأتك. متفق عليه. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that a man should never be alone with a woman. He should never be in solitude with a woman, in safar or in not in safar, whether on a journey or whether not in journey. No strange man should be in seclusion or alone with a woman, except that with them is a mahram of that woman. Nor should a woman undertake a journey except with a mahram as her companion. So one person asked that, O Nabi of Allah, my wife has left on Hajj. She has already left Madinah Munawwara to undertake the Hajj journey. So far as myself is concerned, I have been appointed to join so and so expedition. In other words, in jihad, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, abandon that expedition, leave that expedition and make Hajj with your wife. In other words, It should not be that your wife has to go alone on Hajj. She has to be a mahram with her. Even if that means, in the context of this hadith, even if that means that you leave your jihad fi sabilillah and go and join your wife so that you can be her mahram. These are the two ahadith which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought. There are several points, several areas which require some sort of explanation. First, what is mahram? In other words, generally there are two types of mahram. The word mahram comes from the word haram. Haram means prohibited. In other words, in this context, a person where a woman will not be allowed to get married to her. One is close relatives where marriage is prohibited. Example, brother, father, son, maternal or paternal uncle, grandfather, nephew, etc. Mahram is either through blood, through birth, or through marriage, or through what we call rida. Rida means breastfeeding. When a woman breastfeeds someone, automatically that person becomes her mahram, his brothers, etc. This has been dealt with in detail in the Quran, one entire verse, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِ وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمُ اللَّاتِي أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ. I'm not going to go into the detail. I gave an idea of what we talk about when we talk about mahram, brother, father, son, maternal, paternal, uncle, etc. Now in the first hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it will not be halal, it will be impermissible for a woman who believes in Allah and in the akhirah. We find this type of expression in many ahadith. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Whoever believes in Allah and in the akhirah, do this or don't do this, etc. We find that this is for emphasis. That if you are a person of iman, it is part of that iman that you obey Allah and you obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is by way of emphasis and encouragement, that every woman of my ummah that believes in Allah and in akhirat, let it be that she abides by this rule. Let it be that her family members ensure that they also abide by this rule. We should not countenance this idea of women traveling alone without their mahram, etc. In the hadith, we find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُسَافِرُ مَسِيرَةَ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلًا. How long journey? Distance is not mentioned. Very interestingly, we find that in majority of the hadith, where the prohibition is found, distance is not mentioned, rather time is mentioned. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to make safar, masirat, in this hadith, masirata yawmin wa layla, a safar, a distance or time of one day and one night. In other words, a journey that will take 24 hours to fulfill. We find in other riwayat, in the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, thalathan, a journey of 3 days. In another riwayat of Muslim Sharif, where the narrator is Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu, we find the expression, fawqa thalath, more than 3 days. In another riwayat of Muslim Sharif, where again the narrator is Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yawmain, 2 days. In another riwayat of Muslim Sharif, where the narrator is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Laylatan, a journey of one night. In another riwayat of Muslim Sharif, where the narrator is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yawm, a distance of one day. In another riwayat of Abu Dawud Sharif, where the narrator is Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Baridan. Baridan, In other words, nisfu yom, half a day. So if we have to break this down, we find some riwayats like this one. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it will not be permissible for a woman to undertake a journey the distance of one day and one night. Just to recap, in another riwayat, 3 days. Another riwayat, more than 3 days. Another riwayat, 2 days. Another riwayat, one night. Another riwayat, one day. Another riwayat, bari than half a day. So rather than distance, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in all these various riwayats, where the prohibition is found that a woman should not undertake a journey, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam equated distance with time. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, more than 3 days, etc. The ulama-i-kiram have deduced from all this several points. One is the hukam, the shari'i masla, that particularly pertinent to our time is that if the distance of a journey is 77 kilometers or more, then it will not be permissible for a woman to undertake such a journey except in the company of a mahram, in other words, a close relative. Why this time? Sometimes 1 day, sometimes 2 days, sometimes more than 3 days, etc. Ulama-i-kiram mentioned that the point is, the prohibition is based on fitna. That the possibility or the imkan of fitna, wrong, haram, etc. occurring. So in the light of that, to avoid that ever occurring, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find the various riwayat, 1 day and one night, 2 days, 3 days, etc. Even if a journey is shorter than that, and there is a possibility of fitna, that journey also will not be permissible. Maybe 5 kilometers, maybe 10 kilometers, may not be even half a day, maybe less time than that. But if there is a possibility of fitna, some haram, etc. occurring, then obviously it will not be permissible. Before I go into further details, we find in the second riwayat, the issue arises that what happens when this journey is for Hajj. In this instance, it would refer to the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A woman left for that journey to join Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Hajj. And amongst the Sahaba that were present, one of them mentions his dilemma. That, Ya Rasulullah, I have been conscripted to join a mission, a legion of Sahaba that are going in jihad fi sabilillah. And I have this dilemma that my wife is undertaking the Hajj journey. So what do I do? In that context, we can understand the importance of this hukam of Sharia. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the Sahabi, abandon jihad fi sabilillah. Abandon jihad fi sabilillah and join your wife as her companion on Hajj. In other words, even a journey of Hajj, not a holiday, not a vacation, not some idle exercise that today we find women are undertaking such journeys without a mahram, without some close relative. Journey of Farz Hajj, Rasulullah ﷺ instructs a Sahabi to leave jihad fi sabilillah and join his wife to ensure that she does not go on that journey without a mahram. So far as the shari'i hukam is concerned, in the Hanafi mazhab we find that if a woman, Hajj is farz upon her, compulsory. Like I said, we're not talking about some vacation or holiday. Hajj is compulsory upon her, and she can't find a mahram, a close male relative to accompany her on that Hajj. According to the Hanafi mazhab, it is not permissible even in that instance for her to make Hajj. She will have to delay a Hajj. And if she passes away without having fulfilled that Hajj, then she must make some sort of request for someone to perform Hajj on her behalf. But under no circumstances should she undertake the Hajj journey without a mahram. The point I am emphasizing for us to understand in the context of these ahadith, the extent of the prohibition, that the farz Hajj journey, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any one of you Hajj is farz upon you and you die and you did not perform that Hajj, it doesn't matter to me whether you died as a Yahudi or a Nasrani, whether you died as a Christian or as a Jew. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I am prepared to take a qasam on Allah. I am prepared to take a qasam on Allah that someone who died without having performed their farz Hajj, I am prepared to take a qasam on Allah that they are not Muslim, they have died as a Christian or as a Jew. To that extent, the Shariat emphasizes the importance of discharging farz Hajj. Yet if a woman cannot find a mahram, even in those circumstances, she is not allowed to perform Hajj. She must delay her farz Hajj. The other mazahib, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, etc., have given this leeway that if there is a jamaat of women under certain strict circumstances, it will be permissible. But in the Hanafi mazhab, even in those circumstances, it is not permissible. So in the light of that, the important point we are making, my respected brothers, is that how can it be possible that our daughters, sisters, etc., sometimes for study purposes, sometimes for business, sometimes for touring, we find women undertaking journey without a mahram. Inshallah, we'll continue.